Good morning once again. I'd like to begin this morning in prayer. O Lord, you give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken, and great are you. May we read your word and seek your face and apply what the Bible says to our lives. Open our minds and hearts to your word this morning. Allow us to conform into the image of Christ. Amen. Let's take a nice deep breath this morning. The last 2 weeks have been very overwhelming as far as the news goes. But I saw lots of godly things happening in the last 2 weeks, for which I continually give thanks. But let's take that another deep breath in. Maybe wiggle your hands out. Yeah, wiggle your hands in church. It's okay. Relax. We are here in God's house. We are here to worship him. We are here to honor him. We are here to lift each other up. Amen. Last week, I shared several questions toward the end of my sermon. They were, how are we at loving each other, serving with compassion? Were we able to share our belief in Jesus this week? Have we invited someone to church? Go Trudy, you did. Have we in some way confirmed our relationship with Jesus with another person? Did you talk about Jesus with someone? Do we have God's Spirit alive and living well within us? I'm going to be sharing from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1 this morning. Timothy was written to Timothy by Paul, who at the time was out of jail and living in Macedonia around the year 62 or 63 A.D., even though the order of the books in the Bible are 1 Timothy and then 2 Timothy and Titus, they believe that these books were written by Paul as 1 Timothy, and he probably wrote Titus and then 2 Timothy. Timothy came to his strong faith because of his godly mother and his grandmother. Back in the day, the parents, the mothers, were in charge of the religious upbringing. The men would often be fighting in wars. So Timothy was blessed with truly godly, a godly mom and godly grandparents. They were Jewish, but they practiced the Christian faith. They were women of prayer, and Timothy was influenced by them. They prayed for protection and deliverance and forgiveness and mercy and guidance. They prayed for truth and humility. I'm reading from Psalm 25 right now. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. That may have been a prayer that was prayed over Timothy. Powerful. When Paul was about 15 years old, when Timothy was about 15 years old, he met Paul and became a traveling companion with him. He had become a comfort and a joy as a companion to Paul, and Paul actually thought of him as a son. Grace, peace, and mercy were the lessons learned by Paul's words. It is written that justice is getting what we deserve, and mercy is not getting what we deserve, and grace is getting what we don't deserve. Paul spoke over Timothy to keep the Ephesian church from getting mixed up in false doctrines. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. The church was falling away from grace and peace and mercy. Timothy did not have fear, as Paul shared with him, not to be influenced by the changing culture. The church is to influence the change in culture. Christ over culture is the message. I think since Charlie Kirk's passing, that's been a very strong message. Christ over culture is the message. Before we turn to 1 Timothy, I'd like to share with you about a happening in my own community. Evidently, some harsh words were shared and directed at the volunteer people who are the leaders of the Homeowners Association. Since day one in this community, there has been an effort to be open and honest and civil. But this was the first time that the community had been invited together for a prayer meeting, to simply sit together and pray, because words were being used to hurt and scare others in the community. A group of about 30 people of different faiths gathered together to attend this vigil. Some spoke their prayers, some sat in silence. One began singing, and others joined in to "Let There Be Peace on Earth." I had the goosebumps. It was beautiful. Mostly it was a time of believers giving thanks to God, for we have a roof over our head, we have a safe community, we are doing very well. Some were asking for help in dealing with those who may be negative or those who have hurt them. I thought it was beautiful. And maybe it is the start of something new for our community. And all it took was a person to say, you know, maybe we should get together and pray about this. Wow. God is on the move. Keep your eyes open. Keep your ears open. Make sure that you are part of the revival that is occurring in today's world. We finished that meeting with the prayer of peace, and I'm going to share that the prayer of peace at the end of my sermon. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Timothy 1, starting at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus, our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer, or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. Timothy was encouraged to stay in Ephesus and to find joy in the ministry. There's an interesting quote out there that says, "The greatest joy of ministry is its people, and the greatest challenge of ministry is its people." And they were struggling. But we are to keep on keeping on. You know all these sayings. Follow the command of love. Love with a pure heart. Love with good conscience. Love with a sincere faith. Pray, pray, pray. Take the next best step. Paul warns against straying into false doctrine. Do not add to the scripture or take away any words that are found in the scripture, and do not deny any scripture. Doing so leads to biblical illiteracy. An example of this would be a type of legalism when people would say, "Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy." They eventually changed it to, "You're not allowed to look in a mirror on Sunday because you might want to pluck out that gray hair." Or, "Don't spit on a Sunday, because that means you're getting ready to prepare the land for planting." So they were straying away from the true meaning of "remember the Sabbath and keep it holy." We need to stay focused on the Word of God so that we do not become numb or emotionalist to what is right and what is wrong. As believers, we know what is right and we know what is wrong. Do not deny your moral compass Do not allow yourself to become callous to what is right in this world. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Some have departed from these and have turned into meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for the lawbreakers and the rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, or for murderers, for the sexually immoral, for those practicing homosexuality, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that conforms to the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God, which he entrusted me. The laws actually deal with a person's heart more than their actions. But people don't seem to fully understand when Jesus taught this. Our righteousness is dependent on our faith in Christ. Some Christians were tempted to cling to the traditions of the law because it provided a sense of security. Perhaps it's easier to remain the old way. Break that. Break that habit. As Christians, our moral code comes from the Holy Spirit. Never deny your moral compass by denying what is right and what is good. Don't do what the others are doing. They're having fun. I want to have fun. If it's not right, don't do it. Don't jump into gossiping. But you really have something to add to the conversation. No, if it's not positive and uplifting, don't add to it. Be strong in the Lord. Don't allow yourselves to become cold-hearted, saying, I know this is wrong, but I don't care. I know this is wrong, but it's easier. I know this is wrong, but it's fun. If you've professed to have Jesus in your heart, know that people are watching. Jesus is teaching others through you. Be aware. People who show a lack of empathy, guilt, and a total disregard for rights and feelings of others may be labeled as a sociopath. These folks have a difficult time maintaining a close relationship with anyone, including Jesus. They need our prayers. It's an illness. In this world, with social media out there so quickly spreading falsehoods and spreading evil, people need to recognize the implications of their teachings. People need to recognize how they could possibly hurt another person. Not all, but some will turn to anger and violence with no thought of any consequences. And they think it's okay. It is reported that over 4% of our population suffers from an antisocial personality disorder. Some they cannot help. That is true. That is why they need our prayers for healing. And Jesus needs to be moving in their lives. Some that can change but simply don't, we need to pray even harder for them. Jesus needs to be moving in their lives. In our very fast-paced world, we need to be wise to the selfish teachings and to find biblical teachings at church, on the radio, with our best friend, with our neighbor, with our families. Talk about biblical teachings. Open up that Bible. The laws are written to show us our sin. Teachings that are fruitful to the Bible and right Christian conduct are absolutely essential and richly connected teachings that are faithful to the Bible and right Christian conduct are absolutely essential and richly connected. We've had Martin Luther King be an example of that. And I believe Charlie Kirk was an example of that. And there are others out there radiating with God's love, sharing God's word, praying over us. They don't know us, but they're praying for us. My challenge to you is to remain in your faith and stay strong in your love. Announce your Christian love to someone. Let them know that you love them as a Christian brother or sister. Let them know that you are willing to support or help them in any way they need as your Christian brother or sister. Promote God's work. Be an example of his word. Are we? Are we being examples of his word? Some people won't use curse words in front of me because I'm a pastor, but they'll use curse words in front of their friends. I wonder if one of their friends would say, "I don't appreciate that. Please don't use curse words in front of me," if that would stop. Right? In Ephesus, the believers were falling toward false doctrine, which led to a sinful lifestyle. Perhaps they were fooled by others. That would upset me if someone's fooling with me. Perhaps it just was easier for them to ignore the law. It must have been difficult in that environment, but for Timothy, he remained and he served God. He stayed there serving God. Three blessings are bestowed upon those who share God's words. Mentioned earlier, grace, mercy, and peace. What personal qualities are necessary to live a life wherein you are able to share the word of God? Some of us may think, "I don't know the Bible well enough. I'm not strong enough. I get nervous. What if they question back?" If you look at verse 5, the one we read this morning, the goal of this command is love, which comes from the pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. What quality do we need? Love. Do we need to be professors of the Bible? No. Are we able to turn to Jesus and give thanks and ask for forgiveness? Do we have love in our hearts? A pure heart is an inner quality experienced by those who have received forgiveness and cleansing from sin through Jesus Christ. Once you ask for forgiveness, a cleansing takes place. Let it go. Let it go. Titus 1:15. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupt. It is so important to recognize that God, being pure, will never be defiled. And he is with you. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The pure in heart will be sincere in their love for God. They will have integrity, knowing truth, and they will be devoted to God. Those with a pure heart are promised a deeper experience of God's presence, a deeper experience, a deeper relationship. It's what we all wish for and pray for, and it's ours. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us all from sin. Live in fellowship, man, live in fellowship with other believers, with God and with Jesus. Embrace the truth, embrace righteousness and love for others. Allow God's truth to expose the imperfections, and then continually rely on his grace for guidance. Some imperfections were mentioned this morning. Hallelujah. Let's pray over those. Let's pray that God rejoices in the people who are asking for forgiveness. 1 John 3:3, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Be motivated and strive for a holy life, actively working to become as pure as God is pure. We will fall short, but that's okay. Keep on keeping on. This is truly a transformative power. This is truly the transformative power of hope. Believers are transformed because they obey the truth of the gospel. They are fulfilled with a deep, sincere love that flows from their hearts to others. Paul was committed and fully trusted in God. He passed on the words of Jesus to Timothy, and from Timothy they passed on to others. Let's take on that role of Timothy. Let's pass on the good news of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. We truly want to give you all thanks. Wash over us with your unfailing love. We ask that Christ be our firm foundation. Lord, hear our prayer of peace. Make us an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Lord, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is dying that we are born to eternal life. In your precious name, amen.